Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL, I'm Alon.
It's Walsh.
International break. Firmly in the rearview mirror. How do you feel? How'd you do? What's up?
It's a long week, you know. International break's always a long week. The weekend took a little trip with the missus, so that was good to try and knock those days out a little quicker, but very excited for FPL to return next weekend, obviously. What about you?
Yeah, I wish I did some sort of vacation. That was very clever planning on your part. I'm a mess. I feel like a heroin addict gone cold turkey, like... just busy. My sleeping schedule is completely backwards from the rest of humanity. But now everything's back. So
okay. You know. So I think for this pod, I'm on wild card. So I think through my wild card, we'll sort of talk about some different topical FPL talking points. First of which, we're going to start with the front line. And the question is Kane versus Lukaku. I am... The number one name that has not left my draft since I started tinkering has been Kane. Lukaku, I tried to make work with Kane, but the rest of the team just suffered too much. I just am all about Kane, even though he hasn't returned yet. The stats are there, the threat's there. He seems like the best captaincy shout, and he, for four of the next five game weeks, is definitely the best captaincy option.
Yeah, I think Everybody Loves Raymond on Slack was asking specifically about that because he said, prior to game week three, you were both high on captaining Lukaku over Kane. Now Walsh is looking at bringing in Kane and ditching Lukaku. What changed? Are Kane's fixtures swinging the balance despite not scoring yet? Blah, blah, blah. So I guess you just answered a couple of those, but I don't know, dude. I mean, it's really hard. I still think it's very, very risky to go without Lukaku because of the ownership that we've been hammering home from preseason, but
right.
I obviously agree. I've had Kane, and he's not going anywhere. Like we've been saying since last season, he's the best player in FPL, and he's still the best player in FPL, even though he hasn't scored.
Yeah, I think the tougher thing with Lukaku is looking at the teams, because United and Spurs are right there with Liverpool and maybe Chelsea and Man City with the kind of the heavy hitters that we like to fill our teams with. The value from Man United is not with Lukaku priced at the second highest player in the game. The value is with Mkhitaryan and Pogba. The value is in defense. So it also makes it a little bit tougher because I have three United players in my wild card, and it's nice not spending 11.5 or 11.7 of Lukaku if you're buying him now compared to someone like Kane when the midfielders, Ali and Eriksen, are over a million more than Pogba and Mkhitaryan, and the defenders are more in general.
Yeah, defenders
as well.
Are like 6'5", yeah.
So that also plays into it, you know?
Yeah, because you're trying to get as many of the best players on your team. That makes sense to me. It's just so tough, dude, because... and it's a wait-and-see thing, I guess, but, like, we'll just have to see how, in the weeks when Lukaku braces, because he'll brace at some point, how you do. Like, if you can stay afloat, if Kane and defenders and other shit can... get you through that, or if you just take huge rank hits on those weeks every time, you know?
Yeah, and I think you definitely need your 11 to come through. If Lukaku's gonna come in and you don't own him, you need to make those points up somewhere. But the other thing about going without Lukaku is he's always kind of had that donkey quality, but you know, the game where he scored against Swansea in game week two was not a good performance. So I was already a little bit like, okay, wasn't his best game. Like, hopefully he'll rebound against Leicester. The performance against Leicester was even worse. So that's telling me that, you know, maybe meanwhile, Kane's performances, the underlying stats have been off the charts. Lukaku couldn't compare to them. It's just telling me that.
What about
I think
the hat trick versus Gibraltar, bro?
Oh, fuck off, Gibraltar. Gibraltar, the heavyweight.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's, like, posting all these stats. I'm like, dude, like Spain played, like, fucking Liechtenstein. Like, these aren't, like, things that are relevant to league play. But, yeah, dude, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be tough. He's almost 60% ownership right now, Lukaku.
Yeah, I mean, it's the ownership's really high, so it's either I'm going to make it up elsewhere or I'm going to just sink.
And you couldn't find a way to get both in?
I could. It would just mean a 4-3-3, realistically. With only two heavy-hitting midfielders, it would limit my squad to five heavy-hitting attackers, and I just didn't like the look of it.
I like a 4-3-3.
Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't feel good when I have just every single player in the game at my disposal on wildcard. I had other combinations of players and other formations that I just preferred. And at the same time, it comes back to it where really when I'm looking at value and, okay, you have 60% ownership. He's going to tick along. He's going to score a lot of goals, Lukaku. But if I'm not going to captain him realistically and I'm going to want to captain Kane ahead of him most weeks, then I need to find value elsewhere in my squad. And having Lukaku in alongside Kane prohibited that too greatly. So I'm just going to go without Lukaku.
Yeah, I feel like I almost have the template forward line right now of Kane, Lukaku, Firmino. Like, right. I feel like the average person who's wildcarding probably dials those three in first. But
yeah, I mean, that's the ideal. But then, you know, for me on wildcard, you know, that's a 4-0 fifth defender, which I don't love. That's
no,
a 4-5.
Yeah, I mean, I have all of these things that are not good about my team, but the forward line is sexy. So
yeah, but it's easier to make work when you're not on wild card and you're still trying to figure like wade through the waters.
Oh, you know? For sure. Yeah, wild card, you're just tinkering constantly. So
yeah.
So you're in Kane over Lukaku. So what are your other two forwards or one forward? I don't even know what formation you're in.
So 3-4-3 is dead, but it's straight back in my
phone. No, dude, I can't believe it. I cannot fucking believe it.
I'm so properly.
You should
back
listen
into
to this pod. FML FPL, it's fucking great, and they declare that 3-4-3 is dead.
3-4-3 is back in my.
This
heart
is
my,
Nietzsche declaring God is dead, and then he goes to like Sunday mass.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, "What are you doing here, bro?" And he's like, "Nah, dude, God's house. This is sick."
So I had 4-4. I had 4-4-2 dialed in, and it was feeling okay. It was very heavy in defense with a lot of premiums, and it felt like a good value team.
Yeah,
but I just want another heavy-hitting striker. So obviously Firmino is in. And the other question has been between Morata versus Lacazette versus Gab Jesus. And I've gone with the latter right now in my draft.
Gab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like Lacazette has such a circus around him. Granted, he's got a few really nice fixtures in the next 4 or 5 coming up.
He's bottom of that list. I think he has to be bottom of that list.
I think he has to be. I think the fixtures be damned. It's just, you know, he's got one start really in there, and the team's a mess. You don't know what kind of formation they're going to be playing. Like, even Bournemouth at home, it's a good on-paper fixture.
It's really good.
But it wouldn't surprise me to see Bournemouth give them the game. I mean, Bournemouth were very close to nicking a point at home against City. King looked good. They were playing compact and tight, they look up for it.
Yeah, and then it's away at Chelsea next week, so like,
yeah, they're going to get
destroyed. You don't even feel like you're at risk without Lacazette, you know? Like, no Arsenal player. I'm not threatened by any Arsenal player right now. Maybe like some rogue Jabroni Ellsbury type's going to like captain Alexis this week, and he has reason to believe that he's one of the better captains, I guess, because the captain's so tough this week, but yeah, I think Laka's definitely at the bottom of that list.
Yeah, but I do think, though, you get that little captaincy punch shout in the back of your mind when you're looking at even Alexis, but also with Lacazette, just because the fixture is so good on paper compared to what all the other heavy hitters
are facing. Yeah, so much better
than
all the other heavy hitters, yeah.
But definitely Lacazette has been in the distant rear view in comparison to that trio, but Morata and Jesus is a very much closer battle. I mean, you got 0.3 savings on Morata. He's settled very nicely. He's still getting subbed early, but Hazard coming back should only increase the supply and the service to him. But the stats comparatively to Jesus are not really. Jesus has better stats, and I still feel like City are a more high-scoring team than Chelsea. And we know now that Jesus is preferred to Aguero when Pep is going to play one striker. And it's a little bit like a post-hype sleeper or, you know, not the most favorable flavor of the day. But I think Gab Jesus at 10-4 is still just incredible value. If you're playing at the tip of that spear for City, no matter where De Bruyne is playing, no matter who's playing on the wings, if Jesus is going to be playing down the middle, then he's going to be getting goals.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love the Jesus pick. I mean, me and you are, I guess, just City fuckboys at this point because we're just such believers. But I want to point out that, like you said, that City are going to score more goals or score more goals in general than Chelsea. And I think some people will probably like have pause with that. But what we really mean is that City attack way more often than Chelsea. You know, it's really more that. It's like City are always like looking to attack and have possession and are moving the ball forward, whereas Chelsea are just not designed in the same way. It's not that we both think Chelsea are really fucking good and we both think Morata's really fucking good, but it's just it's more the first thing I said than that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just one of those where we believe in Pep and we believe that he wants to attack and he doesn't really have any defenders in the side. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just think that Jesus is a good pick.
Yeah,
he feels like someone I could kind of set and forget for a little bit. You know, his price dropped and his ownership's down a little bit, but I feel like he's just going to tick.
Yeah, and I'm not on wildcard, but I like a lot of the teams I see with Morata. Like
talk to me about Morata. What do you think? Because there's
I feel
a little
really
bit of savings
good
there.
I feel really good about Morata. I mean, I just think it's hard to imagine a season starting off better for a brand new player. Like right. He's still just bedding in. Like he's not even didn't even start week one. Like he's getting subbed early. He doesn't really. He's maybe not fit. This is like his big break. You know, like he's been kind of a backup on Real, in and out of the side on Juve. Like this is like his. He could be here for a long time, and I just he's putting up really good numbers. And like you said, with Hazard coming back, they should be better and creating a lot more chances. And I don't know. I just feel like they just got through a really really tough run of fixtures, and he came out with 2 goals and 2 assists. Yeah. And maybe not immediately, but soon there's greener pastures, and I just feel like I could see Morata just being incredible. I'm still like, even though we quote unquote know that Jesus is in front of Aguero, it's still Pep, and it's still just like a nightmare to think about every week. And if Jesus has one bad game and Kun comes on and scores, it's like, okay, now is Kun preferred to Jesus? Like, I don't know. Whereas like Morata is just like the guy. He's the guy.
That's definitely something that you could hold your hat on, that Morata's the number one guy who's going to be in the team sheet of every game.
Pep just fucking scares me. Like every single player we've thought was nailed or nailed to at least a certain position ever since has been nailed.
KDB nailed the season. David Silva nailed the season. Jesus nailed the season.
No, that's true. I just mean even nailed in the position that they're at even. You know, like KDB moved back and Silva's further forward.
Yeah.
And
Jesus could be on the wing or whatever.
Yeah.
There's still those three, and those were the three that we've really keyed in on.
Those are
all
the three.
All of us on our FPL, and they've been playing every game.
That's true.
So. And, definitely agree. I'm going to sweat the team sheets to a degree, but I think Jesus, he's got a little bit better fixtures than Morata. It's an easy downshift to Morata in a few game weeks if that looks like that's, you know, the thing. But
and he
at
has
this
the,
moment
the,
in
and
time,
they're more explosive team. It's very reasonable. I think you flip a coin there, but I like both picks a lot.
And the other thing is, I mean, you know, to play to a theme is I'm trying not to chase those players that have banked points.
Yeah.
So far, and Chase game
it's
week
still
3 points.
So early. Like,
you know, it's easy to put in Lukaku, Morata, Firmino because those three forwards have scored the most. But when I'm looking at the next couple game weeks, the medium term, the long term, I want to get players, especially since I'm on my wild card, I want to get players that I really believe in. And I'm trying to disregard the first 3 weeks, which is why I'm really giving Lacazette a fair shake and looking, okay, he didn't play last game, scored the first game, did score the second game, offside goal should have been counted. You know, he's not nobody just because he has 1 goal in 3.
Right.
He's
and
a reasonable
just because
player,
he got benched for Welms one time doesn't mean shit, really.
So, I mean, I'm really am trying like another takeaway on wildcard. I am trying to look at everybody. I'm not trying
and
to just.
To be fair, I did not realize how good City's fixtures are until I just opened them up.
Yeah, they're pretty good. So.
They're very fucking good.
So that's my front. I mean, Firmino just speaks for himself.
There's nothing impossible. To be said there.
There's nothing to be said there. So going back, so again, in 3-4-3, so I have Chalobah at midfield for my 4-5. I looked at the stats between him. I've seen a lot of questions about him versus Tom Carroll versus Loftus-Cheek. And realistically, the stats tell me that Chalobah is really the only of the 4-5 options that have real open threat potential.
He shoots. He actually shoots.
He shoots. He's actually shooting. He's not restricted to indirect set pieces like Tom Carroll. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, for, you know, he's created a couple chances. He's a little hurt right now, but he also just doesn't shoot. He plays really far back. So Chalobah looks by far and away nothing. No one even remotely close to him, to me, for the 4-5 spot.
Yeah, I agree.
And then going from lowest to highest, I mean, Robbie Brady, I'm fucking in there, baby.
Let's fucking go! Yeah, no, I'm fist pumping right now.
Robbie Brady has been so in my dick.
He is like souping out of control levels of soup, like overflowing. Like other people are posting about him on like Reddit and FFS and Twitter stats and shit. And it's just like, wow, yeah, I feel good about Robbie.
So I think the main thing with Brady that I've been thinking about is his spot is in direct contention with Richarlison. And I mean, I've had Robbie Brady since he was on Hull, back when he was on Pens, and he was just like a little runt a few years ago.
Yep.
And he's always done me well. He's got that left foot. Came to Burnley last season, really couldn't get in the team sheet consistently. But this year, I mean, he's got Dyche's trust, and he's on all those set pieces. So he's got, you know, a ton of corners. He's crossing his life away. He's pretty good on the baseline BAPs just because he's, you know, completing passes, getting some CBI, some tackles, doing this and that, putting some crosses in. And his chance created are off the charts. He's got 10 already. He's got 2 big chances created. And he's shooting his fair bit. You know, he has 7 shots already, 7 goal attempts already.
And you mentioned the left foot. Like, it's, if you're relying on Marcus Alonso for any sort of goal return, then you can just line Brady up for the same sort of goal return. Like, those types of right side, just outside of the box free kicks are just like absolute bread and fucking butter for him.
Yeah, so I'm in on Brady. I like his stats, but Richarlison does pose a significant threat.
I love him.
Yeah, I mean, his stats, he's got 11 goal attempts in 2.5 games, 8 or 9 in the box. So he's getting in and around there. And
He's been great. Yeah,
he's been great. His conversion rate is astoundingly low. So you know, I don't know if they're gonna come up to the norm or if his norm is he's just a bad finisher. Just haven't seen enough of him, but he's someone that should definitely be there in your thoughts. The one thing that really put me off Richarlison is looking at Watford's fixtures. I think from an attacking standpoint, they're exceptionally bad in the near term. He's got 3 away fixtures in his next 4 at Southampton, at Swansea, at West Brom, all at extremely good defenses at home. And the one home fixture in those 4 are against City, which is also terrible. And then he faces Arsenal and Chelsea, so the fixtures are as bad as they could come. So for those reasons, so I'm on Brady. Yeah, for those reasons, I'm on Brady.
Yeah, for those reasons, you're fucking out as fuck. I mean, defensively, those 3 away matches are pretty good. But holy shit, attacking-wise, you don't want any part of that.
But I don't want to limit it, though, to those two, because there are a lot of 6 million midfielders that are in and around there, and especially as I've been tinkering on wildcard, you know, that's kind of the make-weight spot that there are a lot of options. Mm-hmm. Knockaert was really good for Brighton last week. His stats were really good in that game. He was everywhere, even though they were playing against a 10-man Watford. I don't think he's a complete dismissal, even though he is on Brighton. Mm-hmm. Might be on Pens. He's got his fair share of set pieces. Richie on Newcastle finally got a return, but he's as nailed as they come. Newcastle have very good fixtures coming up.
He's still on Pens, as far as we know, too.
As far as we know, I mean, they probably won't draw a pen the entire season, but as far as we know...
I feel like Atsu could draw a pen. He's a little tricky.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he's a little fucking fast fuck. What was that? What were we talking about?
You're just listing other guys you're considering, yeah.
And then, I mean, Hesse is still there on Stoke. You know, he has the pedigree. Still lovely. He has the pedigree. Stoke have some bad fixtures, but they turn soon. Maybe he's one for those game week 6 or 7 wildcarders. And then West Brom, I mean, Matt Phillips is still going to tick along, you know.
Yeah.
West Ham has, you know, Lanzini's going to be back soon. He's a little more expensive, but there's some guys there. And then Renato Sanchez, we don't know what he's going to do at 5. probably one more to monitor to see where he's going to play and how Clement's going to set the side up. But there are a lot of like 6 million-ish midfielders around there, and that's the kind of thing. You know, if you want to go Kane, Lukaku, Firmino, you have to pick two of these players, and you have to be comfortable with that.
Yeah, it's relatively impossible to choose the right one, too. As I mean, and that's part of the reason you're wild card, and it's part of the reason I'm making 2 or 3 transfers this year. I mean, this week is we overplayed the like 7 and under mids. Like, there still are a lot that are interesting, and there still will be some that end up being incredible value, but there's so many that it's just impossible to pick the right answer. And you can't just burn a free transfer on that spot every week, or you'll just end up taking a billion hits. So
no,
I think Tadic is still an option. He's on pens. I think Fab is an option. He's under 7 now. I mean, there's so many guys, dude.
It's a lot of options.
Yeah. A lot of people saw Moy.
Yeah, I think he's terrible.
I think it's a really bad pick, but yeah. He's picked.
I mean, at least you're going to get a 2 or 3 from them. He's not like JWP.
Yeah, and if he ever gets any return, he's bonus god.
Yeah, bat magnet.
Let me ask you about West Ham, though, because Bocce, what is this guy, Bocce coach on Slack? You know that guy?
Yeah, I mean, one does not simply coach Bocce. they're the Bocce coach.
He said, I want to make a move for Antonio, but not sure if it's my bias from when he was titting and cheap 2 years ago and fell in love, plus the American fantasy player bias of always thinking we need to get in someone early. What would you need to see from Antonio to bring him in to fill the void in that mid-price, mid-bracket? And kind of like that, you could use the exact same question blanket for all of the West Ham midfield, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, with Antonio, I wouldn't need to see much. His stats were already really good in his limited minutes he's played this season. His stats are always really good when he's not playing right back. It's really just the performances from West Ham. Are they going to get done against Newcastle? Is that going to be a consistent thing for them until they fire Bilic? That's really, it's similar to Arsenal. I think they're like Arsenal light. They have a lot of players that you could easily talk yourself into. Chicharito, Arnautovic when he returns, Lanzini, Antonio. Are they going to play better as their team on paper suggests, or are they going to keep playing Mark Noble in a double pivot and get Boss for possession? It's a tough one. Same with Arsenal, you know, is Welbeck going to play? Is Alexis going to come back in? Is Ozil going to be floating around? They have a lot of players on paper who should do better than they are, but we just don't know. So you have to either take a leap of faith and talk yourself into it, or just avoid and monitor.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I would avoid and monitor, and that was my West Ham thing from before the season even started. Like, there's still so many moving parts. Arnie's only played one game. Like, he's coming back. He got red carded in the second game, and Lanzini's only come back and played one half, and IU has a knock, and we just... they're just such a wait and see for me. Like, they have so many moving parts. We don't really know where they'll be a month from now, and that's what I want to see before I buy in.
Yeah, but I still don't hate an Antonio pun at all. I mean, the fixtures are fantastic, and if you're not on wild card and you're limited to a certain price bracket, if you're looking at under 8 million for a midfielder, he would definitely be my first choice.
Yeah, that's a very fair assessment.
Before we keep looking at midfield, I did want to just touch on the budget striker debate, because there are a lot of people have been asking questions about that. And, you know, really, we're looking at the under Firmino at the 8.5 and under bracket.
Yeah.
Rooney, Chicharito, Meunier.
Rashford.
Yeah, well,
He's still in the combo.
Yeah. What do you see there? I mean, do you think it's worth investing in? Do you think that it's an avoid? What are you looking at?
Yeah, I think it's still an avoid. Like, I still don't really feel good about any of them if I was wildcarding right now. I still have a lot of guys that I'm interested in and I think are maybe going to return good value and worth monitoring. Like, maybe Tammy Abraham keeps starting. Maybe Hossolu keeps starting. We'll see what
Both
happens.
Both of those names are really interesting.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
They feel nailed.
What'd you say?
They feel nailed.
Yeah, they feel nailed. Like, Hossolu just came straight in and just dawned, and it's like...
fantastic fixtures.
No one cares about Dwight Gayle instantly as soon as Hossolu came in.
I don't think J-Rod should still be overlooked completely.
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. He has some good fixtures at Brighton this week. He's as good as it gets. I still think...
You hate him. Got it.
Yeah, Boney, you know, we haven't seen
him... What the fuck was that show with Boney being, like, fat? Is he actual fat?
Dude, he hasn't played in so long.
What do we got, like, a few years running since he was titting it up with Swans?
Yeah, like, last year he played 680 minutes. And the year before that, he played 1,200 minutes. Like, he's just been, like, fucked off. He's been treated very improperly.
What does Wilf do?
You know, he'll get fit, and they'll probably play two up top. And $6 million for Boney, if he returns to form, is incredible. But I'm not going in with any of those guys. Chicharito, I mean, the same. We just covered West Ham. He's good. I'm still terrified of his high ownership, but, like, West Ham are so bad. I don't want to spend a forward spot on a West Ham player right now.
So I've had a few different thoughts. I think Rooney is someone I've tinkered in and out of my team.
Yeah, you love Rooney.
Well, I always love Laz. This fucking drunk driving, just like me, my pals. I think at 7-6, it's just, you know, it's good value. He's playing on Everton. He's probably on Pens. His stats are really bad, though. And with Siggy in, don't know where he's going to be playing in the near term. And the fixtures get a lot better for Everton after the next two game weeks, but there's still question marks there. No doubt about it.
Yeah, question marks Chicharito, all over this price bracket. Every single player.
I mean, Chicharito's got really good fixtures, but also very bad stats. The team has looked terrible. You don't know what he's going to do. Meunier is playing on a promoted side. Enough said there. I do think that Tammy Abraham is the pick of the bunch. I think if you're going to take a punt and still go with a 3-4-3 or a 4-3-3 dedicated team, that there is not 2 million in it between Rooney and Abraham. I don't see that. Swansea have fantastic fixtures. I think it's worth the leap of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, if Bondi's been bombed out from Stoke and every other fucking side in the world and he can't get a game.
Even still, they're playing two up top regularly. I'm not threatened by Jordan Ayew. Yeah.
Yeah, he is the worst of them. Yeah. Tammy at 5-5 feels like the best shout. I think Hasselu is definitely his closest competition. But if I was going to go there, I would definitely pick one of the 5-5 guys. I mean, I've tinkered in and out with that structure as well, and it's really nice. I mean, it gives you Alonso. It gives you extremely heavy defense with good players in midfield, and it's a big make weight. So I think Abraham or Hasselu is a good shout.
But there's also the lurking heavy hitters of Hazard and Alexis, and, you know, even Kev if he returns back to his normal position, where, you know, my front line, for example, Kane, Lukaku, Firmino, it's gonna be really fucking hard for me to get up to those guys if they start, you know, if Alexis just starts scoring at will. Like, I'm gonna be in bad shape. I'm gonna have to take a hit to get him in or something.
Yeah.
So before we go on, let's just shout out the Patreon again, as we do every episode, real quick, because it's really what keeps the podcast alive. Patreon.com/FMLFPL. You can subscribe there. We have rewards. I just sent out the first mug to Eddie Fretters. It's fucking, we got the Slack. It's a good place to be, and it keeps the pod alive. And thank you so much to everyone.
Thanks and cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
All right, so back to midfield. I want to next talk about Pogba versus Mkhitaryan because, you know, we've kind of flitted about that debate here and there.
Yeah, and there's also the, since you don't have Lukaku, there's also, you know, Ray on Slack again was wondering if it's possible
Ray
to...
Is fucking all into
it. Yeah, Ray is just all over the place. Is it possible to cover Rom with Mickey and Pogba, particularly if you want to go Kane up front? So, you know, coverage...
What's your answer?
I don't really buy coverage. Having Mkhitaryan, I think, would soften the blow of a Lukaku festival. I think he has a very good chance of getting an assist in like the type of game where Lukaku braces or hat-tricks, but he's not going to cover him. That's not going to happen. If you don't have Lukaku and he scores a hat-trick and you have Mkhitaryan and Pogba, you're still fucked, is my answer.
I agree with that answer that you just gave. However, I do think that there's more value in owning both of those 8 million midfielders than having someone like Lukaku, as long as you're not captaining Lukaku.
Yeah, that's the thing. I disagree with the coverage part, but I do think they're good picks. Yes. You know, especially Mkhitaryan. I'm still meh on Pogba, but I think if I was wildcarding, I would definitely have Mickey in.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Mkhitaryan is a better pick than Pogba, but Pogba's stats are still fucking ridiculous. I mean, I know we watch him and he's taking all these speculative shots from way outside the box and shit, but he still creates a lot of chances and he shoots more than any midfielder in the game so far throughout these 3 game weeks. And
just doesn't Mkhitaryan do it for me. Just
doesn't
like,
do it for you.
When I was the big naysayer, you know, last week, I was just every one of his shots, I was tweeting like, this is worthless. This is worthless. And like,
and
I feel like all of the advanced stat people all agree that like his speculative shots from 35 yards out are just like, they hardly even count as a shot because there's such low probability of them going in. He's like not be a finisher over time. And just, I'd rather just go with Mick, who's just creating a billion chances and will probably, you know, just run into some assists even on set pieces and stuff.
Yeah, I did have a little look at Pogba's Juventus highlights on YouTube.
If you ever need to be convinced of Pogba's abilities, just look up a skills compilation and pull your pants down.
I did because money was tight, and I have Paul instead of Mkhitaryan. Very late change.
Right now, you have Paul on your team.
Right, I have Paul on my team right now because I bought him at 8.
I hate
So I'm saving 0.3 on it, and we'll get there when we start talking about my defense. Maybe I can go back to Mkhitaryan, but the stats for Paul were really difficult to look away from, even though I know that we talk about and we've been watching him for months and years that they don't mean that much. But
yeah, not all shots are created equal.
So I have Paul in there, and then my other two midfielders, Salad, obviously.
Salad, straightening.
Mohamed Ahmed Salah.
I want to start calling him Pauline on the pod, but it's just like too abstract. People won't understand.
And then my other midfielder is none other than Philip Coutinho.
Oh my God, what?
So, I mean, I'm looking at
Holy shit, dude.
I cannot afford Mane at all if I want to have Gab Jays up top. And when we get to my defense, I can easily run a 4-3-3 this week. No problem. I think Coutinho is going to probably get a bench role, a little sub on appearance against City. But 8-8, you know, there's value there. And even though he's playing in the midfield three, he's going to still tick along and he's going to gather set pieces and he's going to be roaming around the edge of the box for Liverpool.
Yeah, when Phil shoots from outside of the box, it's a real thing.
Yeah, it's not like Pogba when he's shooting it to fucking row 1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm trying to look at it in the medium term. He's got 0 points on the day, but at 8-8, you know, when the game came out and he was 9, he was in 30% of the teams.
Yeah.
And nothing's changed now. Now that he's back in with Klopp and he's back in the side, you know, he's fantastic. He's the best player on the team, arguably. And they're going to be rotating and there's going to be whatever, this and that. But I would rather have Phil and not have the double United midfielders and be able to double on United's defense than have the double United midfielders and have someone like Maguire in defense. So that's really what I played with there. Because I can't stretch up to a 9-5 Ali Eriksen Mane type in that slot. And if I want to still have a reputable defense, it's got to be someone under 9. And those are the kind of the players I've been playing with. And I just feel like it's a little bit ahead of the curve they're getting in with Phil. It's a big little punty. But
yeah,
I mean, what's
a little risky,
without a
but
pun?
It's also not really risky at all when you think more about it. He's obviously 100% fit. He just played both games for Brazil, I think, and returned. And yeah, it seems all good. I guess so. I think you have the wrong third Liverpool player picked, but we'll get there in defense.
You want me to get Trent?
Yeah, you should have Trent.
I want Trent.
I think it's insane
problem.
To not have Trent on a wild card team right now.
Yeah, I mean that's a problem. Is that if I go Trent there, then I got Jones. So you'd rather have Jones? What am I doing here?
I'd rather have Trent than
Blind.
Trent is probably second to Jones, like best value defender in the game right now, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly preferred to Gomez. Gomez is not going to play against the Minnows.
And Klein is out until at
November,
least
December
maybe February. Like, what? He's out forever. This is Ben Davies 2.0. Trent's on like corners and freeze and shit. It's like
no. So I mean, this is a thing. I've been playing around with it. I've had Trent in there when I've had Mkhitaryan and Pogba, and I've had Trent instead of Blind. And I just don't love having Pogba and Mkhitaryan.
I don't want that.
I want the double defense for United. And if I have Trent in there and I have, you know, a few 4-5s, I could do. But then I have like a bunch of money in the bank. It's weird.
Well, can't you bring in one of the Spurs mids maybe instead of double United mids?
I mean, then the problem with that is I would be either looking at a double 4-0 at goal, which might be okay. Or I would be looking at Trent as my Naughton as my third and fourth defenders, and then a 4-0 as my fifth.
That's fine.
All of those things don't feel fine.
The defenders, I think, is fine. The 2-4-0 goalies is not good. I don't know. I would need
both. That's the thing.
Yeah, we're basically what we're saying is we're struggling finding any midfielders you like between 8 and 9 that aren't. What happened to your love for like Mahrez?
Yeah, I mean, I still love Mahrez, but the fixtures aren't great. I mean, his stats are okay, but
yeah,
when I'm looking at someone like Mahrez compared to someone like Coutinho that's ridiculous. Dumb. Like yeah. That's a dumb thing.
Yeah.
And with Trent, even though 4-5, absolutely incredible value, agree with you. I think he's a fantastic pick with the Klein news. I still am worried about rotation and he's gonna get rotated. With Champions League and those game weeks when I'm going to be expecting or needing him to play, and I have Mbemba or some fucking 4-0 non-player, and I only have one defender on coverage, like that's thin.
Yeah,
that's so very thin.
What's your full midfield right now? It's Salad, Phil,
Salad, Phil, Paul, Brady, and Brady, Paul, and Chalaba. Yes,
and Chalaba. Yeah,
yeah. And then my defense now.
So I wonder if you do end up turning one of those into like. You know, a more mid-price guy. If it's worth having one mid-price slot, we just went over a lot of the interesting guys.
I don't know. I mean, I could easily take a punt and switch Pogba and Coutinho into Antonio and Ali. You know, I mean, that's not an issue. I could do that. It just hasn't felt great.
Yeah, yeah.
Pogba's stats are really good, dude.
This is really good.
And then so defense, I have Blind and Jones, which again, I really like having double United defense. I just think that they're going to keeping a lot more clean. So I would rather have that than where the value is in midfield at that 8 to 9 million is Pogba and Mkhitaryan. So
David.
You know, I don't want to go there again.
Wow.
So anyway, so I've got that. And then I've got 3 4-5s. Naughton speaks for himself. He's by far the best 4-5 defender option in the game to me.
Legend.
And then I've got Stephen Ward in there from Burnley. He's got some pretty good stats. He's got that goal already.
Yeah, he's
and
good.
They have pretty they have pretty good home rotating fixtures. And
I
then,
like the way he looks a lot.
Yeah. Big nose. Love the nose.
Like ridiculous clay made of clay nose.
Yeah, like claymation.
Claymation. It's
and
sick.
Then fifth defender, very late turn in his dunk on Brighton.
Interesting.
He has so many touches in the box and shots in the box.
So yeah, you're looking for some sort of attack in return?
Yeah, I mean, they have also pretty decent fixtures and they've been tight. He's just, again, I like having depth, you know. You know
definitely. I like having depth. I just feel like they're the worst team in the league. So I just
they might
go there.
Be, but they might be, but they're really tight at home. And
but there's also there's the Huddersfield guys. Like, how could you argue dunk over any of them?
Because their fixtures are absolutely diabolical in the next 2 months.
Yeah.
And I like Clark a little bit. You know,
Kieran, dude. Yeah.
Producer Nate's love child, but Dunk's fixtures plus his outstanding. Attacking stats and touches and shots in the box or whatever looks like he's an okay option as my fifth defender. But you know, like last year I had fucking Amat and that fucked me so bad.
Yeah, it's bad having non-playing players.
Yeah, so I like having the 3 4-5s there and then having the double United guys.
What about someone like the structure? What about someone like Britos?
Oh my god, I'm gonna fucking run through my mic and kill you right now.
Oh, man. Yeah, this dude on Facebook, Mahesh Jagadishan. Sorry about the pronunciation. So please discuss 5 million and below wingbacks. Who's the best option for the next 5 or 6 weeks?
I mean Naughton.
Yeah, Naughton's great. Naughton is...
If if he's playing three at the back, Naughton is the best defender in the game by far. Pass Alonso, pass anyone. Do you disagree?
Dude, Kyle, I mean...
Dude, 4-5 as a fucking wingback? Are you kidding me with
four,
that shit?
4-5 wingback on
cleans
the,
and three?
The bus king of Wales.
Yeah. It's a ridiculous joke. Naughton is absolutely the best thing in the world.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have Kyle in this moment. Their fixtures are good, too.
Yeah, no, their fixtures are fantastic, which is part of the reason why I like the structure, because having 3-4-5s and being able to actually start Naughton, because before when I have three heavy defenders in ahead of Naughton, I'm going to be benching him every week.
Yeah,
I think he's fantastic.
His points are just going to return, yeah.
Yeah, he's a fantastic start.
Yeah, and it's so easy to rotate when you have as few bad fixtures as he has. You know, right. It's just like, okay, right. You just need someone for game week 5 and someone for game week 10 or something like that. You know, it's like you can just slot those in. Yeah,
so,
I mean.
Yeah, Foster and Elliott. I don't love Foster, but West Brom, I don't like rooting against West Brom cleans. I just want a piece. He rotates pretty well with Elliott. I mean, something I have played around with, like we mentioned earlier, is Elliott and Krull. But I think Foster, flappy hands is pretty
Krull's,
good.
He's not even there anymore.
Yeah, he's at Brighton, but Ryan is a nightmare. So I think Krull of the 4-0s, besides Elliott, is the best chance of overtaking his incumbent.
Wait, he went to Brighton?
Yeah.
Holy fuck, I totally missed that. I thought he went to, like... League One or something.
No. He's at Brighton. Took him.
And Brighton are League One levels, I guess. So makes sense.
God, I don't like the Brighton. I like the Brighton hate, but I also love Dunk. So anyway, they Pickford's really good over there at 5-0, and he's going to be someone that we're going to be looking at soon when their fixtures turn. But I don't know, dude.
Oh man, that is. So how do you take away? What?
You don't like Phil, dude. I can't believe. I thought you would be sucking my dick about Phil.
I love Phil. But no, when people tweet in, and this is different because most people who tweet in are not on wildcard. When people tweet in, like, I'm looking to transfer Kev maybe to Coutinho, I'm always like, no, just get, like, Salah. Just get Mane. Like,
that's an absurd
thing. No-brainer. But, yeah, it's much different when you're on wild card and your team is deep as fuck. You have every spot is a starter and like with some value. It's hard to refute your argument, I think. But what I was going to ask you is, how do you feel looking back at pulling the trigger? Do you think that this was a good time to wild card?
Yeah, my team was an absolute mess.
Yeah,
there's
it was
no question.
Kind of a fucking fire.
It was a mess. I would have been having to take repeated hits just to try and get to what bad teams looked like. I think that there was no question about it. I feel great about doing it.
Yes, that's what I mainly wanted to hear.
Yeah, but I want to go back to it, though, because I think it is an interesting point. And it's been something I've never really thought about in the last few years of playing FPL when I've been on wildcard is – really looking at, and maybe it's because I did it during the international break, but looking at the point scores to date, but trying to disassociate yourself from that, and then also looking at the near term. And you don't want to ever set yourself up for transfers that you're going to have to take in the next couple of weeks. So it's kind of thing that like, oh, well, Lukaku has a better fixture this week than Kane, so is it okay if I have Lukaku and leave enough in the bank to get Kane next week? Or, with Coutinho, he's at 8-8. He's great value. You know that he's going to be starting to trickle into teams when he starts getting on the team sheet. I'm trying to, and Morata, Morata has a great point so far, but Jesus, Lacazette haven't done so far. But when you're looking at the near-term fixtures, it paints a picture that Morata's fixtures aren't as good. So it's really, I'm trying to really look at who I'm going to want versus who's already scored. And I think it's a difficult line to, to toe the line is difficult.
It's so much easier to make weekly transfers because you don't really have to factor that in. And you do to an extent. You're not getting in a guy who's only going to play 1 week. But you're mainly just, you probably have a problem and you're looking to fix it.
But I think it's an important thing because
it's really important.
Especially when you, with game week 1, when you start the year, it's less important because you always have that wild card to, reset button. But when you wildcard, there's nothing until fucking January. So you really need to make sure that you set your whole team up for success in the medium, near, short, long term. So it's just something to keep in mind, I think. It's just an interesting thing because it's easy to stick as many of those blue stars in your team of players who are, you know, top in their position for goal scoring so far or point scoring so far. But you know, it's just something, an interesting little game theory thing I've been thinking about.
No, yeah, it's very interesting. And I wonder if, you know, it's only Tuesday now, so I'm sure there'll be more tinkering until the deadline. But I wonder if that sort of reasoning is like a feather in someone like Morata's cap that ends up, you know, pushing you that way. Just because there really is no competition for his place all season
safe.
Long.
So safe. Yeah. So safe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're running a little bit longer than we thought, but I think we're talking about some good things. A couple other things I wanted to touch on were a couple of talking about the near term and players who have not scored points yet, very premium midfielders, Hazard and Alexis.
Yeah, I brought them up earlier. So what are your thoughts on them?
I mean, I had a good spell where I had Alexis in my team. He's, like I was discussing earlier, about just the leap of faith. It's kind of one of those where he's obviously going to want to go in January. Arsenal look like they're a mess. But if he wants to go in January, he's going to have to play good football from now until then, in the fall and the winter months. So I think he's going to come into our team soon. I think pens off of him to Lacazette's going to be a little bit of a troublesome thing. I don't think Wenger's going to be as dumb as he was against you guys and bench Lacazette and play Alexis up the middle. I think he's going to have to resign himself with that wing role, but 11-9, you know, it's not insane to fit him in with Kane. It's just, you know, a downgrade. You got to take an extra midfield punt. I think he's going to have to, we're going to have to think about him soon.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think if you're wild carding like you are and not thinking about him at all, you're making a big mistake. And like, I feel like not having him is okay, but having a way to get to him should be left open, because like we were just saying, setting yourself up not just for short term, not just for this week, but for long term, it's very easy to imagine a world where 3 weeks from now Alexis is in every team and the number one captain, and you should have a sort of double switch that you can do to get there, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's the other thing that's the most tricky is that Alexis and Arsenal have the best fixtures in the near term of any of the heavy hitting.
Yeah, they have really good
FPL pitches. Options. But you know, are you going to bring Alexis in versus and also captain him? It's a big step.
Yeah, he's not there yet. But yeah, like you said, game week 6, 7, 8. It's like home West Brom, home Brighton, at Watford. Like. Yeah. That's wouldn't be surprised if he's captain in all three of those, you know?
No, he's definitely a shout. And then Hazard, I mean, what do you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going nuts about his, like, returns against fucking Gibraltar. Like, who gives a shit? We know what he's going to do in FPL. He's going to be very inconsistent, uncaptainable, because you never know when he's going to return. Yet, he's going to finish in the top 5 overall points of midfielders. That's just what he always does every year.
Yeah.
I like him. If he wasn't hurt, there's a chance I would have started the season with him, I think, just because it would have been a set and forget, just like leave him for 2 months. But
fuck off, dude. I wish he was not hurt so he could have banted about that.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like thinking back to preseason, like you would have been ripping into me for going Hazard over like KDB or something. Because they're both kind of just set and forget long term guys who are going to score a lot of points. But
do you think he imagine would play that Hazard world? At center back?
Yeah, exactly. Like Conte is like, wait, my defenders have to be like big and strong. Why would I ever do that? Pep's like, no, they don't. No, they just have to be Kev.
The ginger hair is definitely playing center back from now on.
Yeah. So I mean, fuck, dude. Haz is never a bad pick. It's just tough.
He's
to
a
spend
bad
10-5 on a non-captainable player.
He's a bad pick.
He's never a bad pick.
He's a bad pick. He's fucking shit.
He will lay into us as he does every season when we don't have him.
I can't wait to watch his little Belgian dick slide up my ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Final talking point. Alonso, Tough one.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't have him. Honestly surprised.
He's been in and out, in and around everywhere, but I want heavy hitting attackers. The $7 million.
He is one.
I know. Because he plays fucking defense. And he's looked so good the first few weeks, but honestly, I don't recall watching Chelsea last season when Hazard was playing on the left and seeing Alonso getting to these same positions. So I'm a little concerned that.
What are you talking about? We had him all year. Like,
no, I know, but he wasn't taking like 3 shots in the box every game. Like that's not what he was doing last year.
I don't know. I don't remember the stat comparison. I'll pull it up, but fuck, dude. Yeah. I mean, we were just talking about like maybe lowering one of your midfielders into that bracket. It's like, why wouldn't you turn Dunk into Alonso and drop a midfielder lower and turn, you know, I don't know, get Ali or something. I don't know.
And that's the thing is like I like having the double United mid, the double United defense, and I like rotating one spot between the three of Ward, Naughton, and Dunk. I think I'm gonna get ahead there.
But right, like in a 4-3-3, you're starting Alonso, Naughton, and double United defense with one rotating for Naughton. Like that's incredible to me. That sounds incredible. Is that bad?
No, it's not.
Like, Naughton is unbenchable for the next, like, almost 10 game weeks, aside from 2.
Naughton is the new soup.
Naughton and Brady. We need to get some fucking gay porn so I can just jerk it to Naughton and Brady right there.
Naughton gets me very hard.
Yeah, freaking out about Naughton. I'm
fucking about Naughton. Naughton for president.
Yeah, like, Alonso, dude. I'm sad you don't have him. I'm sad you don't have him.
Did you get 12 points from Naughton last week?
Yes.
How'd that feel?
It fucking sucked. I hated it. Thanks, fucking...
Check us out.
Martin Kelly, Joel Ward, whoever the fuck... Whatever shit-ass Palace defender gave the ball away to him. Just teeing him up for his 12-pointer. I'm not checking us out yet, because let's pick captains, because we didn't do it last week. And we haven't even talked about my team.
Let's talk about... I've been selfish this week.
No, yeah. Well, you're on wildcard, so it's like... way more interesting, but let's through captains. Like, who do you like? Who are you capping? It's really hard this week. I'm on Lukaku right now. If I had Morata, I would definitely captain him over Lukaku or Kane.
I think I'm gonna go with Salah.
Yeah, Mohamed. Yeah, Salah. Pauline. I mean,
he gets enough pops. I think
his stats are fucking absurd. Absolutely fucking absurd.
Everton are so good defensively.
Yeah, we've all captained someone at Goodison, and it always ends in tears.
Never good. It's horrible. I just
don't
want to go there again.
Shits on captains.
Yeah. He's going to pack the midfield. They're going to be tight. It's going to be a tough one for Spurs. I just think Salah is the best shot for me about getting in behind. I would have captained Mane if I had him. I think I'm going to go Salah.
Yeah, I'm on Lukaku at Stoke. It doesn't feel good, but I don't know. I don't want a captain Kane. I don't want a captain Firmino. I don't know. It's so hard this week. It's genuinely.
And this is why the Arsenal shout.
This is where it comes in.
Yeah, if you've got Lacazette or you have Alexis, I mean, that's just you captain them and you just hope that they get their shit together and on paper, like, do what they should do.
Yeah, be so unsurprising if they just like 3-0.
Yeah.
I'm captaining Tammy Abraham home Newcastle. Maybe I'll captain Robbie Brady home Palace.
God. Which is why I'm still not 100% on Jesus over Lacazette, because...
What about Morata? Morata at Leicester, I would captain over...
Leicester are good, dude. Leicester are good. I think they're just as good as Everton.
That's... ridiculous. And I
no, it's not ridiculous.
Agree.
It's absolutely not ridiculous. It's just sound because I just said it.
No, it's awful. I hate that shout.
You're a fucking idiot.
Everton defensively are so much better.
No, not with Dragovic, the dragon.
Dude.
Dude, you don't know what you're talking about. We shouldn't have a pot anymore.
Fucking A. All right. Well, yeah, captain's hard. You're going Salah.
Just pick someone. Salah. It doesn't matter. Blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about your team.
Yeah, so I've been sitting on, it's just not interesting. I've been sitting on the same double change since the end of last game week, which was like 5 months ago. And it's still probably almost definitely what I'm going to do, which is Kev and Genie to Brady, obviously, and Salah, obviously. And then that leaves me a ton of money in the bank, which I don't think I will use now because it's not really worth me taking a hit. But it leaves the option open of going like Mariappa to Alonso or a big upgrade on Chalaba or something like that. So I'll have to play with it.
You should probably do it tomorrow because Wijnaldum is like right there.
I know. Wijnaldum is about to go down and Salah's might move up. So yeah, I might do it tomorrow. I just want to hold out because obviously I want like to wait as long as possible, but yeah, I might have
to do it. But we're not waiting for more information at this point, right? Everything's done.
Yeah, all the internationals are done. Yeah. I don't know. Just yeah,
you should fire tomorrow, like, so you don't want to lose point two.
Yeah, I'll probably just do it. It'll be shitty to start Chalaba.
Wait, dude, you're gonna go fucking sell over Mane when you have the money for Mane?
Yeah, because I want to leave the Alonso option open. And I just think they're going to end the season very similarly in like goals and assists and points. And I'm saving like 0.6. It's a lot.
Okay. So you're going to keep Chalaba in as a starter?
Yeah, for this week, not long term. Okay. I don't think I lose that much there. He has like a pretty good chance at a three-pointer at Southampton because they're fucking horrible. You know, I'm fine with a three-pointer. It's better than a -4.
All right, lad.
And then I go, you know, if I do end up doing next week Mariappa to Alonso, then Carroll and Chalaba stay in my team as bench spots, and I go 4-3-3.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Yeah, so that's
hey,
that.
Hey, girl.
Let's do anus slaps and then fucking wrap it.
Okay, so slap on the anuses, anuses on the dick.
Yeah, the lowest level patron award for all of the geniuses.
We have Chad Hartery, not to be mistaken with Artery. Einar Fadness, Luke Barlow, Chris Coyne, Freddie Brown, and Kyle Menzies. Don't call me Menzies, Menz.
He's in Mensa. We got Joe B, Alex Stevens, Tim Naylor, a.k.a. Bocce Coach, I believe. Adam Latouz, don't tease me, bro. Randall Osborne. Well, he has all these asterisks next to his name. What are you trying to tell me?
He might not have paid us. I don't know. I don't know.
Randall getting away with highway robbery there.
I forgot. I put asterisks for a reason.
He might have subscribed. If not, you good job. You just completely bamboozled us. And then the latest anus to slap is Daniel Adler. Thank you guys so much.
Daniel Adler, brother of Michael Adler from Harskrulla High School.
We love you guys. Thanks. And that's it. Check us out, FMLPL.com. Follow on Twitter @FMLPL. Support us, Patreon.com/FMLPL. And cheers.